If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Point Forward Podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward Podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the show, and on the other line, Jim Ozarski, Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Jim, on our last episode, I was panicking about the Bucks, as I am wont to do. And it seems like every time I do that, they go off and win a bunch of games in a row. The Bucks have won three straight games, including some really impressive wins over the Grizzlies and the Bulls. And we will talk about those, but We're going to start with that Bulls game in particular. A moment in the Bulls game, Grayson Allen was suspended a game by the league office, by the NBA, after a pretty kind of vicious play that he tried to go up and block Alex Caruso, kind of came around and hit Alex Caruso in the head. Caruso fell to the floor, broke his wrist, needs surgery, he's going to be out for a while. Big loss for the Chicago Bulls. Grayson was assessed a flagrant 2, was booted from the game, and now suspended. Some interesting social media reactions to this, Jim, and we're going to get to those, including a couple from the Bucks themselves that I want to touch on. But just to start with, because this has been a hotly contested, hotly discussed topic, Grayson Allen certainly has a little bit of history, and the rest of the league isn't fond of Grayson Allen. There are many Bucks fans who are Badgers fans who are not fond at all times of Grayson Allen. As you saw this play in the moment at Pfizer Forum, what did you initially think? What did you immediately think when you saw it live and then on the replay? What was sort of your first reaction to this moment in the Bulls game?
My first reaction was, wow, like he hit the ground hard. You hope that he would be okay. Obviously, Alex Caruso got up, finished the game. Wouldn't have known, you know, he fractured his wrist, but he missed both the free throws after and 3 for 11 shooting in hole. I don't know how many shots he put up after that, but, he had a couple steals. He won a jump ball, I think. So, honestly, JR, I didn't think too much of it after the moment. Other than, I saw the replay and, social media started up again and flagrant 2. It made sense because of the way Caruso fell, and the fact that Allen, he hooked arms with Caruso as opposed to just flying by. A definition of a flagrant 2 is unnecessary and excessive contact. I don't think it was unnecessary. He was going up to stop the shot, but I see where the hooking of arms becomes excessive, and that's what turned Alex Caruso sideways. So in real speed, I was cool. I understood the flagrant 2, but then that was it. I'm a little surprised that they escalated it to a suspension.
When I watched the replay, and I confess I was flipping back and forth with the Badger game that night, which was going on around the same time, so I wasn't maybe as fully in tuned as I could have been, but it didn't strike me as particularly dirty. It struck me as a full-speed play in the air, which is bound to have consequences, but I thought Allen looked like he made contact with the ball on the first swing, and it looks like he comes around thinking the ball is going to be there, trying to maybe like bat it around or bat it off the backboard and sort of break up the play. Now, he didn't make contact with the ball on that second swing. You kind of have to see it. It's an awkward play to really try to describe, but he ends up hitting Caruso instead. Caruso, I think, was always going to fall, whether or not Grayson Allen, hit him in the head that second time around. Certainly, the Bucks do not agree that it should have been assessed as flagrant as it was in terms of getting him suspended for a game. Mike Budenholzer afterwards, I believe after the Kings game the next night, just brought it up saying that things happen in the speed of competition, things like this. But obviously there are a lot of people out there who feel like Grayson Allen got off easy with just a one game suspension. And I'm sure the two things that factor into that are Grayson Allen's history dating back to his days at Duke, of occasionally being being accused of tripping or just dirty-ish plays, dirty adjacent plays that could be perceived one way or the other. And then also the fact that Alex Caruso did sustain a serious injury. I think if he walks away and he's fine, it's not really something we're talking about. But pursuant to the first part, that Allen has some history. A lot of that does stem from Duke. Of course, Mike Krzyzewski famously defended him, and you know the rest of the nation rolled their eyes. Yeah, Grayson Allen, dirty player, trips guys. I think that's how a lot of people felt, many Bucks fans included. And there have been a couple of moments in a Bucks uniform, even certainly in an NBA uniform in general, like with the Jazz, but also with the Bucks, where he kind of looked like he might have tried to trip Derrick Rose as Derrick Rose was blowing by him. It was almost just a wince. So it's kind of hard to know exactly what to make of that, but these things have popped up around him before. Whether or not it's a coincidence, whether or not he means it, whether or not it's a heat of the moment thing, this is something that is going to chase him around for the rest of his career. And I wonder, Jim, how much you think about that if you see him suspended for a game. Like, is that because Grayson Allen is Grayson Allen, or is it because he truly merited the flagrant two, truly merited the suspension? How much do you think that plays a factor here?
I think it played no factor with this specifically, because while Billy Donovan went right to, he has a history of this going back to college and all of that stuff, I believe, because I have not been able to find one, I believe this is the first flagrant foul of Grayson Allen's NBA career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the NFL, NBA, I mean, the NBA doesn't care what anyone did in college or high school or in Europe. Like, they have their own judicial system when it comes to this stuff. They did break the mold. We wrote this. So the commissioner has sole discretion to add punishments. Typically, the very first flagrant two that a player is called for, they get ejected and they're fined $2,000. That's it. A suspension doesn't happen until you acquire six flagrant points, which is a combination of ones and twos. Now, where there's a gray area is, unlike the NFL, the NBA does take into account what happens because of it. So LeBron James was suspended a game for a flagrant two in Detroit because it led to an on-the-court altercation. All right? In this instance, Alex Caruso broke his wrist. So Grayson Allen, in this world, is suspended because Alex Caruso broke his wrist. If Alex Caruso is playing this weekend, Grayson Allen is not suspended. So that's where the past history doesn't come in, JR. Now this is here, though. So going forward, right, this is going to be part of it for him. The college stuff, like Billy Donovan, look, the Bulls clearly had an agenda. They wanted their guy, you know, some measure of discipline beyond just $2,000. And it took a while for the league to think about it. I mean, it took a few days for them to make that decision. But you're right, though. I mean, Grayson is one of those guys who is on the edge. Like, he'll, you know, he's in there mixing it up. He's not afraid. He's definitely been called for some loose ball fouls, you know, where you're kind of like, what are you doing down there, guy? You know? but you're right. He is who he is. And that's always going to be there. Our Ben Steele asked him on media day, his very first media appearance with Milwaukee people, hey, do you think it's fair this is still brought up? And Grayson kind of smiled at him and was like, I don't know, you're the one asking me, is it fair? You know, so he told me, he's like, look, I know Duke's never going to leave me. The problem now is for him, this is NBA Grayson Allen, flagrant two. So going forward, that might be in officials' minds and things of that nature.
I do think it's interesting that the NBA values the outcome as in their process. Like, I think that's good. A lot of people, I think, will say that's not fair. Every moment should be treated the same, whether or not it leads to something. But like, that's dumb. That's not true. The plays that have greater consequence deserve to have greater scrutiny. I think that's completely fair. And I like that the NBA does that. I like that it you know, weighs fairness that way, as opposed to, well, let's just treat every play as the same regardless of outcome. The Bucks' response, I was starting to allude to it, but has been really interesting. The first thing is the tweet they sent out saying, we strongly disagree with this. That's unusual for any organization to do when it comes to sort of on the court stuff like this. The Bucks are, I would say, one of the more outspoken in terms of, you know, siding with players when they're pursuing social justice initiatives or speaking out against things that they consider wrongs, both in the community and, you know, surrounding the franchise as well. So this isn't necessarily out of step with how they've handled other things, but that's still a big step. And I guess what surprises me about it is they don't really need to do that. Like, this was a one-game suspension. While, you know, some might see that as a lot, it's not that bad. It's not the end of the world. And so I'm surprised that the Bucks took that step. That's a pretty, I would say, defensive take for a play that I think could, you know, you could evaluate either way, I think. But you certainly could evaluate it as being deserving of a one-game suspension. So how did you take that? Did that catch you off guard too?
No, because of the fact that it's rare for the league to escalate a first flagrant two to a suspension. There aren't very many. And again, I mean, I mentioned LeBron James, like that was the Isaiah Stewart, like wanting to fight everybody, AKA Derrick Henry move, where he's pulling through people to get like, which was clearly not anything that happened in Bucks Bulls. So no, I guess now that you bring it up and I think about it, I'm like, oh yeah, I guess that is a little different. Like, you don't quite get that too often, but I think it makes sense because it was the league took a rare step. So maybe the organization felt they should take a rare step. But I'll be honest, JR, I thought when you mentioned social media, I thought you were going to bring up the scheduled tweet.
We are going to talk about that donut. We are going to talk about that donut,
Saturday,
Jim.
Saturday morning with Grayson Allen smirking with a donut that says good morning, and then at Chicago Bulls didn't take too kindly to that. Holy cow, wow, was that a thing?
Yeah, that's the next thing.
For a few hours on Saturday morning. People were still talking about it once the Kings game was beginning. Fiserv employees had screenshotted it because, of course, the tweet was deleted. And we're speaking about it later. I thought it was a next level move, but apparently it was just a scheduled tweet that wasn't double checked. So I think, you know, man, I'm telling you, Chicago Sun-Times had Rob Caruso'd something like that on their head. Man, that March 4th game in the United Center is going to be something.
Yeah, so let's fully set the table for what happened here on the morning of Saturday morning. And I admit, I missed this when I first, you know, that was a Packers game day, playoff game day. I was pretty immersed in that side of it for the sports world. I didn't really care much about the Sacramento Kings basketball game against the Bucks. I'm guessing most sports fans in Wisconsin also did not care too greatly. I honestly, when it was announced Giannis would not be playing that game, I asked myself, who is going to go to that basketball game? But the morning of the Bucks morning of games, the Bucks typically tweet out little gifts that say, "Hey, get ready for game day." And in this particular occasion, it happened to be Grayson Allen slyly eating a donut, which I guess I don't quite understand. And it was like, "Hey, game day, get ready for the Kings game at 6 o'clock tonight at Fiserv Forum." Like you said, probably a scheduled tweet, just something that they put into the hopper for, you know, maybe they even did it days in advance or certainly before the Bulls game and the events of the Bulls game. I think that that's probably the truth, because they then deleted the tweet after there was some blowback from the Chicago Bulls and otherwise. So it certainly wasn't something where they were trying to be particularly trolly and double down or anything like that. They got rid of it as quickly as they could. And it just seemed like it was making light of the fact that Grayson Allen had just sent a guy to a 4 to 6 week recovery period. And the next day, oh, no harm, no foul. There was a foul. Here's Grayson Allen enjoying a donut. We hope to see you tonight at Fiserv Forum. you know, I know some of the people who do social media for the Bucks. I do not know them well. I know that that job is very difficult in my mind because you have to adopt a tone that is both informative, kind of fun. You know, you wanna rib the opponents here and there. You see that a lot. I think, in my opinion, the best social media accounts do engage with other fan base or with other team Twitter accounts, and they kind of go back and forth, and they have like a fun rivalry. I think that adds to it for sure. That is also a very dangerous line to walk. You can occasionally fall into a situation where you certainly irritate the fan base, but maybe even the franchise itself if you say the wrong thing. So it is a tough job. I have to think that was not intentional using Grayson Allen in that particular game day gif. I hope it wasn't, because it does seem it was a little callous if in fact that was a troll maneuver, maybe thought better of and deleted later that day. But certainly we can say the rivalry between the Bulls and Bucks has been stoked here. The Bucks did win that game. It was not a pretty game, but like you said, the rematch is going to be something. When you saw that tweet, did it strike you right away? I mean, I don't know if you saw it before the blow up developed around it, but take me through that. Take me through your Saturday morning.
Yeah, no, I did not see it because I believe the Bucks tweet one of those at like 9 a.m. every game day, and it's a variety of players eating donuts. So, you know, it just, again, it felt sort of innocuous because it's just, you know, if you follow the Bucks Twitter account, it's just something you see on a daily basis or, you know, game day basis.
And so the donuts, I assume, I said I didn't understand the donuts, but it's like, it's morning. Here's what you might be doing in the morning, eating a donut. Get ready for the game tonight. That's what's happening there.
Yeah. And so, and again, it's a variety of players every day.
what a day.
One different player every day. So I'll be honest, when I first saw it, I thought it was a little bit of a tweak. When I thought, I'm like, I grinned, you know, but then the Bulls responded directly. And then the Caruso news came out, and then of course some other websites with some pretty passionate and well-known internet bullies picked up on it and started creating some issues, I think. And so they took it down, which I understood that. So yeah, it probably was one of those where I bet you, JR, I don't know. I've scheduled tweets in the past, like for mornings for stories. And then I forget about them. Like, I mean, that's the reason you schedule it. So, like, it could have been scheduled a week in advance, right? And you just didn't remember that Grayson Allen was going to pop up that day. you know, so I don't know. But, yeah, it definitely added to it. And it's still happening. We're recording this, and I'm seeing Amari Stoudemire, who I believe was the player who – pushed Andrew Bogut and led to something kind of complaining about Grayson Allen's one game suspension. So I, you know, he's a dude that's just going to catch a lot of arrows as long as he's in the league. And, you know, unfortunately for him, this is his first check mark as an NBA player. And now everything going forward, you know, this is the starting point. This is the baseline for Grayson Allen now, is a flagrant two and a suspension, not three flagrants and a suspension. So he's already now sort of down the line of discipline, I think, that most players don't get. And clearly, you know, it's something he's going to have to think about in such instances going forward.
Yeah, Amari Stoudemire noting that he got suspended once for just stepping on the court. I don't know that specific instance. Maybe I should, but I assume it's him coming onto the floor for an altercation coming from the bench. His point is, you get one game for that. Why is it only one game for putting a guy into a hospital bed? And I do think that's a fair point, I guess. I mean, again, like you said, this is his first NBA, sort of his first flagrant two in the NBA. So in some respects, you gotta let him build a reputation before you say that he's truly a dirty player who warrants a longer suspension. But I don't know. Like what you're saying is true. This is his first NBA checkmark, but court of public opinion, it is not his first checkmark, and it will not be his first checkmark. And you've got people finding plays where he almost committed something similar. I think I saw a thread of them, and it was saying, like, this may not be Grayson's fault, this play, or whatever, but, like, the fact is, this stuff happens, and he's right in the middle of it, and you start asking yourself why. Like, what's happening there? And I always thought in college it wasn't that he was intentionally trying to hurt people. It's just heat of the moment. That's how he tended to react. That was just sort of a, you know, like sticking out the leg at the last second to prevent yourself from getting schooled by the offensive player. Like, it's just an instinct, and it's a bad instinct, but it's still like, I never thought it was malice as much as it was just instincts that he needed to sort of work out of his system. And honestly, earlier in the year, that Derrick Rose play is where I thought, okay, like, you could see the instincts start to take over, and then he drew back to prevent, you know, actually tripping or actually sticking out his leg to stop Derrick Rose. That's how I kind of interpreted that moment from earlier this year. But anyway, I feel like I had one more thing I wanted to... Oh, just in general, what you're seeing now is a lot of people bringing up other instances, players who were not penalized. The Mike Dunleavy thing is the one everyone likes to recall back from the I think that's the 20... Is that the 2015, 2013 season? 14 season? Yeah, I don't even remember. But... you know, I bristle at that too. Like, every case is different. Every adjudicating, you know, the rules change from year to year. The people evaluating change from year to year. Like, you don't have to go dig for all the times the Bucks have been wronged or somebody hacked Giannis super hard. Like, this is a separate issue, and somebody did go to the hospital and had to have surgery for it. So, like, you know, we don't have to do this. We don't have to go through a big rabbit hole and decide what's fair or what's not fair. It's also just one game. Like, the Bucks will get through this just fine. And, I don't know. Any last thoughts, Jim, before I move off of Grayson Allen?
Yeah. Regarding the... So, look, later the night on the weekend, Kelly Oubre Jr. and Charlotte took DeAndre Hunter out of the air, right? On a really scary-looking dunk. Hooked his arm, right? Going for the ball. And, yes, Giannis... This was a topic of conversation. Giannis is 7 feet tall and 285 pounds. It doesn't look the same, you know, that Giannis gets the Cam Newton treatment, you know, for my NFL analogies. Cam got beat to hell and sustained hits that no other quarter, that Aaron Rodgers would get flagged, you know, earned flags for all the time. But Cam was a bigger dude. LeBron's lived this life. That's the nature of human officiating. Grayson Allen and Alex Caruso are incredible athletes with, what, 40-inch verticals, but they're 6'2", 6'3". It's going to look worse. Maybe the end result is worse than, say, Giannis going up and a guy like Grayson Allen's size trying to wrap him up, because let's be honest, what will happen? We've seen it. Giannis just keeps going. It's the same sort of foul, right? But the end result's not the same. So I get it. This is teasing a little bit the thing that makes me mad, because there's some little NFL-ish stuff in here, but it all relates together here. So it's all part of the subjective nature of sport, JR. And I think in this immediate outrage, immediate, these things must change, is a little... annoying, I guess, if you're kind of in the game all the time. I feel like assistant coaches or former players should know better. But I guess there's always instances, JR, where just because you played or just because you coached, maybe you don't know better. So we'll just leave it at that.
It's true. Moral of the story is, don't schedule your tweets. Never schedule your tweets. Real quick, though, before we get to our features for the week, I should mention the games themselves. The Bucks did beat the Sacramento Kings. It wasn't obvious all night that was going to happen, but you got 34 points from Chris Middleton and 26 for Drew Holiday. Drew getting back into form. Finally, we might have Drew Holiday at full speed. So they win that game without Giannis, which is a, you know, anytime you win a game without Giannis, I think that's a good sign for this Bucks team. They do beat the Bulls in an absolute slog. It was a very bad basketball game ultimately, but they win 94-90. They beat the Grizzlies before that, which is impressive. The Grizzlies, like we talked about before, one of the best teams in the West, have a very exciting player in Ja Morant who might get some MVP votes. So that was a quality win. And now they have a big game, you know, kind of big game coming up in Cleveland against the Cavaliers on Wednesday. That's a team that is right there with the Bucks in the Eastern Conference standings. The Bucks have bounced back ahead of them. Bucks only one game out of the top spot in the East. They still might get the one seed after all this. Then they got the Knicks at home on Friday. The Nuggets, Nikola Jokic coming to town on Sunday. Any other on-court stuff that caught your eye over these last three games or looking ahead over the next to the next few?
Look, 17-3 now with the big three. With that win against Chicago, they are 5-5 without Giannis, JR, believe it or not. Their record without Chris Middleton and without Jrue Holiday is actually more atrocious. Go figure, right? So that's just sort of a statistical anomaly at this point, but we're more than halfway through the season. So, you know, I'll say this, to win 94-90 in what you correctly described as a slog, and then the following night to hit 21 three-pointers without Giannis and win in a game that was really high paced and put up 133. I don't know. It just kind of shows the Bucks can win in different ways. We've seen that this year, but it was really highlighted with this past week's games. And then Memphis, look, they were one of the hottest teams in basketball. Everyone was looking forward to that game. We kind of glossed over it because, yes, Ja Morant played, but pretty much anyone who else mattered for Memphis didn't. So they weren't quite the same team. But look, the Bucks again, JR, the really good teams that have come in, they've won. So, again, this just shows that this is a really, really good basketball team, especially when the big three are playing. Just a matter of, will they play together enough for them to claim some semblance of home court advantage, you know, later in the year?
And I imagine one of the reasons the Bulls fans took this so hard is that they are also out Zach LaVine and Lonzo Ball right now, and now, you know, Alex Caruso, who's been contributing for them, goes down. So the Bulls seeing some speed bumps here as they try to hold on to their spot near the top of the Eastern Conference standings. All right, let's go to our features of the week. We're going to start with one quick buck.
Desmond Mason with authority. Man. Monte Ellis puts it up at the buzzer and got it.
No way.
Monte Ellis wins the game and then heads to the locker room. No.
You got to be kidding me. Charlie Villanueva. He has got the mojo going.
To the bell, man. In your face, Brad Lojas.
The Milwaukee Bucks select Larry Sanders from Virginia Commonwealth University. Larry is not here.
One quick buck.
Jim, this would have been a good one. The very first one quick buck we did was Andrew Lang, who, like I mentioned back then, was known for the hit, or not hit, that's too strong, but the foul on Patrick Ewing that essentially kind of brought Ewing's career to an end. That would have been a good one to tie into Grayson Allen, but I got a better one. I've already said his name. Let's talk about Mike Dunleavy. Mike Dunleavy Jr. What do you remember about Mike Dunleavy Jr., my friend?
So Mike Dunleavy Jr. was actually a guy I covered. He was on the Bucks when I first got to Milwaukee in 2012-13, before he went to Chicago and became one of our good friends Reddit subs' most favorite memes. What I knew of him was he was good with the media. He was always available. He would speak. If you think about those teams, they were not very good. And good three-point shooter, you know, for that era. You know, it wasn't quite like it is now, but he was a guy who could make some baskets. That's what I know. I mean, Bucks and six, he's part of that squad, for whatever that's worth.
It's not worth much. I'm sorry.
So that's how I know Mike Dunleavy, is he was with the Bucks and six team.
Yes, and what a perfect way to to highlight the Bulls-Bucks rivalry, because of course Mike Dunleavy, when he left the Bucks after playing two seasons in Milwaukee, he wound up signing with the Chicago Bulls, got $6 million out of the deal. That was before the start of the 2013 season, and then in the playoffs, he issues that hit to Michael Carter Williams. That was a series that the Bucks, people may remember that Bucks Bulls series. Jared Bayless hit a buzzer beater. The Bucks went down 3-0 in the series, then won the next two games, and they got absolutely destroyed in game six. It's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, playoff spread in history. I actually didn't write that down. It's like 52 points or something they lost by. And in that game, Mike Dunleavy delivered a hit to the neck of Michael Carter Williams. I don't believe it was the only instance in which Dunleavy had mixed it up with Bucks players during that game. And then Giannis Antetokounmpo, young Giannis, famously comes over and clears Dunleavy out, like off the court out, on a three-point attempt, which Dunleavy made, actually, as part of this blowout. Giannis gets kicked from the game, but it's sort of the beginning of one of the early data points in the Giannis mythology, and as you said, the Bucks subreddit in particular latching onto the dirtiness of Mike Dunleavy. He is showered with a particular expletive whenever possible. I saw a few games ago somebody had a birthday had paid for to put their name on the birthday signage as FM Dunleavy, which tells you all you need to know about how people feel about him. There is a culture of Bucks fans who will never love Mike Dunleavy. He started his high school career in Milwaukee. His father, of course, Mike Dunleavy Sr., was head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. He was general manager, vice president of basketball operations for the Milwaukee Bucks in the late 90s. And so Mike Dunleavy's career starts at University School of Milwaukee. He's a 5'11 freshman guard. When he played for the Bucks, he was 6'9. When he was an All-American at Duke, he was 6'9. But 5'11 as a freshman in high school, he wasn't, was far from the player he'd become, of course. He wasn't lighting it up necessarily. Played his sophomore year at Homestead High School in Mequon before his family moves to Portland. Mike Dunleavy Sr. took the head coaching job with the Portland Trailblazers. Mike Dunleavy Jr. played his final 2 years of high school in Oregon and became a McDonald's All-American. And it wasn't the most graceful exit for Mike Dunleavy Sr. There was some lawsuit issue with severance pay and a whole bunch of stuff. He had stepped back for a year from the head coaching job to be general manager, had hired Chris Ford to take his place, and then left after 1 year. It was kind of a messy situation. But at Duke, Dunleavy played with Jason Williams at the time, Carlos Boozer, that 01-02 team that won the NBA title. And then he's first-team All-American as a junior, comes out for the draft, and is the third overall pick for the Golden State Warriors. And played with the Pacers. He did sign a two-year deal with the Bucks after that lockout in 2011. I think it was worth like close to $8 million. He scored 11 points per game, 3.8 rebounds, 2 assists, but he came off the bench primarily. With the Bulls, he got to start. He started 63 games that year that Giannis cleared him out. So he got a much bigger role with the Bulls. Wasn't making quite as much money, but kept his career going. I think his last year was 2017 with the Atlanta Hawks. I know he hit a buzzer beater game winner against the Bucks when he was playing with the Bulls. So certainly part of the rivalry there. He was, by the way, fined. I don't know if people remember that. He was fined and assessed a retroactive flagrant for that hit on Michael Carter Williams. He was not called for a foul in the moment, which is part of what got people so upset. But he did get a little bit of after the fact stuff. Wasn't suspended or anything though. So people have been bringing that back out after this Grayson Allen issue. People have been mentioning the Mike Dunleavy incident of 2015. Good. That moment's going to live for a long time, I think, for fans of the Bucks subreddit in particular. Any last thoughts on him, Jim?
No, I'm glad you brought up the Jumbotron moment. That was pretty hilarious.
So good. So good. I don't know how that quite slid past the screener. Well, I don't know. Like it wasn't profane, and I'm guessing that whoever handles the Bucks stuff is at least tangentially familiar with what that could have meant. I'm not sure. But good stuff. All right, let's do the thing that we love the most, that I love the most, is what's making Jim mad.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
I am very disappointed.
I'm upset.
Louder!
I'm upset.
Say it louder!
I'm upset.
That's my secret, Cat. I'm always angry.
What's making Jim mad?
Yeah, so this I alluded to it a little bit there, talking about, the reaction to Allen and suspension or not suspension. And then, honestly, I'll bring in a little football because, look, we're Packers weekend, and Bills Chiefs and, this sort of everyone's crying about, overtime rules. How can this be? Everyone needs a chance. Look, JR, do you recall anyone complaining and saying that about how both teams had a chance to win and the game ended up tied in the regular season? I don't really remember anyone saying that was a great thing, right? Like, invariably, it's, why are these games tied? You know why they're tied? Because both teams had a chance to win and they couldn't, right? Like, I just, it's one of those things where, like, I'm not saying leagues shouldn't change, that rules shouldn't be amended as things go along. Other than baseball, JR, I'd say basketball and football especially, changes their rules on like a regular basis. I mean, football, it's like an insane amount of rule changes every offseason. There's a part of it that's like, I don't understand how you can go entire regular seasons or entire years or rounds of playoffs, and then a thing that happens that you don't like, and then it just, look, it's what makes me mad, JR. So this is me being selfish and saying, y'all ruined my experience with all of this crying and whining about how things should change, or they're not the right way, or this is terrible, and this guy deserves a chance. No, he doesn't deserve a chance. Win the game. That's where I'm at, JR. Win the game. Or if you're the Bulls, or if you're like, I'm kind of old school in that way. I'm a millennial. I'm an older millennial. I mean, Grayson Allen was ejected, so it's not like, you know, whatever. But there are, you can play physical games, but I'm not saying you hurt Grayson Allen. That's not what it is. But you can set a hard screen, right? Like, I just feel like it. There's just this, and some of it's social media, and everyone has a voice. But it ruined, again, it's just making me mad, JR, and it ruined my experience this last couple days of just like, just insane sort of, you know, whining about rules that have been in place, and there's a reason they're in place. And again, maybe they change and then those are the rules. But for now, man, it is what it is, right? Like, it's sports. You win, you lose, you get hurt, you get ejected, there's a foul, there isn't a foul in a subjectively officiated game. Like, it's just, that's just the way it is. You can't always please everyone, and crying about it isn't always the best answer either. So I don't know. That just was making me mad, JR.
All right. I'm pushing back on this a little bit. So when it comes to rules that just kind of things that people haven't clamored for or don't know a lot about, and it pops up in a game, and then it's like, well, that's a bad rule, they should change the rule. Yes, I agree with you there. That's like, well, you didn't know it was a rule to begin with. And yes, there's now this example that brings it to light, and maybe that does get it analyzed, but you can't be harping on like this is some sort of cause you've had your whole life and that this rule has been under your microscope. It hasn't. You know, it came up, and that's something, but like, I hear what you're saying there. The overtime rules in the NFL, like, people have been saying those need to change for a long time. So certainly back to the 2015 Packers-Seahawks NFC Championship game debacle when Aaron Rodgers didn't get a chance to win that game, didn't have a chance on offense. There's no other sport where in the extra period the team gets no chance to score. You know, in soccer, even if it's a golden goal, basketball plays out a whole quarter. Baseball, obviously, extra innings. Both teams get their shot on offense. Everybody gets their chance to score. It doesn't make sense to me that you would go to an extra session and only give a team a chance to score if they win the coin flip. I've always felt that. I've always said that. I'm not the only one. Lots of people have brought that up. And I think that this I think is the most glaring example of what we saw on Sunday night when the Bills and Chiefs played in a ridiculous immortal game. I do get irritated with those saying you should just win it in regulation. You wouldn't have to worry about it. Well, both teams should have won it in regulation. The fact is both defenses were gassed. They both played their hearts out. It was an amazing game. And you can't nitpick the one or two things that the team that lost did wrong, because they didn't get that extra chance that the team who won got. So I do push back on that. I do think the overtime rules in the NFL should be changed, and I don't mind people saying so. Becoming the top storyline, you know, I could leave that, because it was still a tremendous game, tremendous playoff football game. But they do need to be changed, and people have been banging that drum for years. I think they should also just not have overtime in the regular season, for that matter, but I'm kind of alone on that island. Just let there be ties. Who cares? Ties are not that big a deal in the regular season. I don't know why we so badly need an outcome in everything. But anyway, that's my 2 cents, 10 cents on the matter. I'll give you a chance to respond if you'd like.
Look, I get the idea of it. You know, I'd say, look, if you hold them to a field goal, you get a chance to win. So, I mean, it's a team sport. Like, why, you know, are you allowed, your defense is awful, But nah, that's okay. Like, that doesn't work in the regular game. If your defense is terrible, you typically lose. So I don't, that's where kind of I go against that a little bit. Like, if your defense forces them to punt or kick a field goal, like, you get a chance. I don't see why you should, like, be, your defense can be trash and give up a touchdown and be like, it's okay. Like, so I also think there's an element of, I don't know how much football these guys can play. Like, 70 minutes of football is probably not great.
Right. No, that's totally true. I mean, that's why both offenses need a chance, because both defenses are gassed. They gave up so much in the game. Like, it's over for them. The team that gets the ball is going to win. They're going to win.
I get it. I think this is such a rare thing that the league just going to keep doing what they do. That's typically what the NFL does. And they like this conversation. I mean, I know that. They'd rather have this conversation than, I don't know, some other sort of issue that had come up, right? Like, because the team's talking about the game. Like, that's what they care about. So, yeah, it's just, I get what you're saying. Like, there's a resolution to games. Every team gets a chance. In the NFL, I guess, to me, you did have a chance. You just hold them to a field goal or a punt, or a punt, and then you get your chance. It's a team sport, right? It's all 22, as they say. But anyway, but yeah, that's kind of my thing. It's just one of those, you know, even with the Grayson Allen thing, JR, like, that's the rule. Like, the flagrant system has been in place for years. Why is it different? Just because people don't like that dude, right? Like, so I get it. Like, that's just kind of one of those things where just, you know, like, come on, people. Just, it's just not worth the thing. You made me mad about it.
All right. Well, Jim, thanks for joining us. Any final nuggets of wisdom about this Bucks team?
No, you know, we'll see. It's kind of a weird week. You know, they're off for a few days. Then they go to Cleveland, which, JR, who would have thought? Game, regular season games against the Cleveland Cavaliers matter. Very odd, right? So that'll be interesting this coming week. Look, we're in that back stretch. All I'll say is this. We're in the back stretch, the back half of the year. These things, like, if the Bucks, like, this East is so muddled, they've lost to Detroit. They had the bench game where they lost to the Cavs. Like, this game kind of means something because the NBA's got really convoluted tiebreakers for seeding. And I know the Bucks haven't had to worry about that in the Mike Budenholzer era, but this year they might. And losing multiple games to the Cavs and that one against the Pistons, JR, might turn into your Rockets game from a year ago. Like, if they get, like, the 5 seed because of this, like, that's all I'm going to say. I think it's just interesting that these division games matter for the first time in, since, I don't know, what, the 80s? Right? Like, it's kind of weird. So we'll leave it at that. I'll be in Cleveland. I'm looking forward to it. You know, Grayson Allen's not going to play, even if he was healthy, because he's suspended. You know, and we'll see how it goes as the Bucks try to get healthier and maybe make a push now with the big three being back together and maybe at full capacity.
Thank you for tuning in this week to the Point Forward Podcast. We will be back at you again next Tuesday. He's Jim Ozarski. I'm J.R. Radcliffe. You can find us all on Twitter. I'm at J.R. Radcliffe. He's at Jim Ozarski. Pretty simple stuff. As long as you know how to spell it, you'll figure it out. And let us know what you think about the podcast, or find us on Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating and review. Let us know what you think. And we will talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward Podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.